From the field to the film room to the war room, we've got you covered every step of the way as the road to the draft starts right now on BGN Radio. Hello and welcome to another episode of the BGN Draft Show. I am your host, Shane Half, and you can follow me on Twitter at ShaneHaffNFL. I'm joined today by my co-host and fellow draft enthusiast, Dibes. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mr. Crockpot. Be sure to check out his podcast, Party On Broad. Dibes, how are you doing today?
Doing well, man. Let's talk about an excellent group, a quality group that has a lot of depth, a lot of guys that could be in Midnight Green in just a little under a month. So let's talk about it.
All right. I'm also joined by my co-host on Chalk Talk, Mark Henry Jr. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mark Henry Jr. _. And be sure to check out his Tough Cover radio show every Saturday. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's WrestleMania week in Philadelphia, so that's where my focus is. But as soon as Sunday night ends, and hopefully Cody Rhodes finishes the story for my wrestling fans out there, right after that ends, there is nothing stopping me from focusing on the draft 24/7 until the draft, basically. WrestleMania is like, I got through March Madness. I'm about to get through WrestleMania, and then the draft is going to be the only thing at the front of my mind. But cornerbacks, if anyone's followed me on Twitter, they know how desperate I am for the Eagles to take one of these cornerbacks or safeties. I'm not going to be picking.
I heard a rumor, Mark, somewhere that the Eagles haven't drafted a first-round cornerback since 2003. Is that right? Did I get your stat right?
2002.
Shame. 2002. I mean, I didn't get it right. That's why I asked.
Whoever must have been saying that stat must have been a pretty smart guy. But I think there's probably more than likely that we won't see the Eagles take a corner in the first round if we use history as a guide. And it's probably more than likely we won't see them use it in the second round because they haven't taken a defensive back in the first two rounds since 2017.
Yeah, well, we are talking about defensive backs today. It is our second to last position left to rank. Tight end will be next week, and then it'll be done. You'll have heard us talk about the top guys at every single position group, special teams excluded, in the draft. So we're going to dive into our top 10 defensive backs. We are combining corners and safeties together because there's so much fluidity between safety and nickel and all of that when it goes to the next level. So we're just going to combine it all together and give you a top 10. So I'm going to start us off here with my number one. It is Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. He was a 3-star recruit coming out of high school, the number 155th ranked cornerback in his class, which is kind of crazy that we're talking about him as a first round pick now. He is 6 foot, 195 pounds. He ran a 4.33 40. Has a 38-inch vertical, 34th percentile arm length, and 95th percentile hand size, which I always just think is interesting when you got short arms and huge hands or vice versa. But overall, he ended up with a 9.79 relative athletic score. He was second-team All-American in 2023. He led all FBS and forced incompletions over the last two seasons. He had the highest coverage grade per PFF in man coverage this year, the fourth highest in zone coverage, and the highest overall. He did not surrender a touchdown per PFF's charting in 2023. Now, when you talk about his strengths, he's got a well-built frame for a cornerback. Some of these guys we're going to talk about have good ball production, but they're small, or maybe they don't run very good. He's got a well-built frame. He's a good athlete. He's got good vision and anticipation in zone coverage. He reads out route concepts really well, and then he keys off the quarterback's eyes and he goes and makes plays at the catch point. And he's fast. I talked about it, but it's not just track speed at the combine. He clocked 23.58 miles per hour on the GPS this season. So he's got a great top speed on the field. He accelerates quickly. He's got good agility, nimble feet. He shows physicality when he's tackling receivers out on the perimeter. He's got excellent click and close from off coverage. So I think he's a really good player. Now, obviously, he's coming from not playing the best competition, but he did. He dominated the Senior Bowl. He had a really good showing at the combine. So I'm a little less concerned about that. However, I will say he's not as good of a tackler against running backs at times. When he's coming down to fit the run, he sort of just dips his head and dives at the legs instead of wrapping up. I thought he was slow to open his hips and run at times. And I think that stems from him being over aggressive and feeling like he has recovery speed if a receiver gets a step on him. He's also not real experienced in press coverage, so maybe you don't want to ask him to do that a lot early in his career. But overall, I've got a first-round grade on him. I think he is a scheme-diverse boundary cornerback, but he is going to be better in off coverage. So that's my report on Quinyon Mitchell, who is my CB1 in the draft. What are your guys' thoughts on Mitchell? You guys don't have him one, but I believe he was – I didn't look. I got to look again. Was two for you, Mark, and a little lower for Dives?
No, opposite, I believe. Okay. I think he was two for Dives, and he's lower for me. He's down there at number four, so I'll chime in just on why I'm a bit lower. And if you look at the draft guide that we'll be putting out soon that Shane does a great job on, I in terms of the overall ranks, Shane has Quinyon Mitchell number 10, Dives has him number 9. I have him down at 19. So I have a first round grade on Mitchell, but I'm not as willing to completely overhaul my draft board based on the kind of the pro day and how great of a job he has done in the draft process, which he has. He's helped himself in a similar way to the way Devin Witherspoon helped themselves in the draft process last year. And there is a lot of similarities there. With Devin Witherspoon and him. So you could use that as a point to say that I haven't bumped him up enough in the rankings, to be quite honest. But it really does have to do a lot with, the lack of press experience. And there's another guy in this class who you could, you know, I'm speaking out of both ends of my mouth a little bit because I have a guy who I really like who doesn't have a ton of press experience, but a little bit of a higher level. And then, yeah, that's B. It's him playing at Toledo. A lot of the tape does look really good, but I'd be lying if I said that I was aware of a single MAC receiver in my receiver rankings. I have about 25, 30 receivers ranked. I don't think any of them are from the MAC. So I just don't think he went against a ton of top talent, whereas I've seen the Alabama guys. I've seen the Clemson corner and Nate Wiggins. I've seen even Cooper DeJean in the Big Ten. Like those guys I've seen just go against more top talent at wide receiver. So that's why I'm just a little bit lower. And I don't want to make it sound like I dislike him, but that's why I'm just a little bit lower, even though I do have a first round grade on him.
All right. Well, let's get to the guy that I think most people have CB1 in the draft. Dives and Mark both have him number one. He's number two for me. I think I have him like one spot behind on my overall rankings that'll come out soon. But it is Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama. Dives, talk to me about Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, this is truly a 1A versus 1B situation. I love Arnold. He's been my guy all season. And that's not a knock on Quinyon Mitchell at all. But he's just a little bit. I have Arnold number 7 and Quinyon Mitchell number 9 on my big board. But Arnold, his production this season was just as elite as it gets, man. 63 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 5 picks. He lined up primarily as a left corner last year, but he also has extensive experience playing in the slot. He's excellent in coverage. He's able to mirror wide receivers with ease. What I love most about Terrion Arnold, man, this guy's a ball hawk. When you watch the tape, when going up against the run, man, this guy is not afraid to be physical. He's a great tackler. He loves to get downhill. He does not miss tackles. And that's why he's my CB1 in this draft, man. He's a very balanced prospect. And that aggression, you know, we talk about how soft this Eagles defense was in 2023, man. This guy's the exact opposite, man. Every time I watch tape on Alabama, this guy's getting in the mix. He has a nose for the football. He's everywhere. You look at this guy, he had the highest run defense grade from PFF of any corner last year at 90.6. I was honestly shocked at his 40 yard dash time of 4.51, because when you watch this guy, he's an effective blitzer off the edge. He's a guy that can cover a ton of ground in very little time. And when you talk about the negatives, this guy doesn't have many. You know, he's very young. He's just 20 years old. Yeah, he only has 1 year of starting experience. He can get a little lazy with his technique at times, but all those are coachable. And I just think his athletic traits and his instincts and his physical play and aggressiveness give him legit CB1 upside. And he's a top 10 pick, in my opinion.
All right, Mark, I know Terrion Arnold's kind of your guy too. So anything that you want to chip in there?
Yeah, no, Dives did a great job there for sure. Terrion Arnold is for sure CB1 for me. I have a little bit of a bigger gap between CB1 and CB2 than you guys would. And a lot of it is just he went against the Malik Nabers and the Brian Thomases and those SEC receivers over the last couple of years. And one of the last chances you have at getting a legit Saban defensive back from Alabama, obviously, with him retiring there. And Terrion Arnold, the ball skills are just so elite. And Jalen Johnson is a guy I've heard him compared to a lot. I think that's a really good comp. Obviously, Jalen Johnson just got paid a ton in free agency for Chicago to stay there. And another guy I've seen him compared to is Darius Slay. He's a better tackler than Darius Slay ever was. So I really do think Terrion Arnold isn't bust proof, but I'd be really surprised if he isn't a good starter.
Yeah, and I think
both Arnold and Mitchell are just very balanced prospects, you know, like their size and their physical play, their abilities in coverage, their ability to stop the run. They're just very good cornerback prospects, both.
Yeah, I think Arnold is better in zone than he is in man. So, like, of course, I have Mitchell at CB1, but again, I've got him really close. If you want to play a lot of man coverage, I would definitely prefer Mitchell. If you want to play a lot of zone coverage, I would still slightly prefer Mitchell, but I definitely see an argument for Arnold there. So to me, it could come down to preference and what you want to do schematically too as a team, because if you want to play a lot of man coverage, maybe you go a little bit more towards Mitchell. But yeah, I think Arnold is a great prospect as well. He's also played a little more in the slot than Mitchell has. If you want that versatility to play inside or out, Mitchell's always been a boundary guy. So interesting discussions there at the top of the CB board. I'm going to be really interested to see who comes off the board first in the draft, because I do very much think it's up in the air right now.
And I do think Mitchell has the athleticism to play on the inside as well. I do think he's that level of an athlete.
They have like the same build, basically.
Yeah, Arnold had a 9.43 relative athletic score. So very athletic guy, good build, all of that. So, okay, let's move on to our next guy here. This is number two for Mark. It's number three for Dibes and I. I really thought I was going to be the Cooper DeGene guy on this podcast, but I'm not, and it's Mark. So, Mark, talk to me about, I guess I've got to call him your guy now.
Yeah, he is. He's really becoming the guy who I'm screaming from the rooftops for the Eagles to get 22, and maybe the most realistic guy. I'd love Terrion Arnold. I just don't think that's at all realistic. And DeGene might not be either, and in my opinion, he shouldn't be. He should very much go with one of the top 15 picks of the draft. He's 6'1", 207. Hasn't worked out yet because he had a leg injury at the end of last year. He's cleared for his pro day, which is just a couple days away at this point from the time that you're listening to this. He was a junior, played two full years at Iowa, 77.4 PFF grade and an 88.5 PFF grade in those years. Played a ton of snaps, and he was elite at outside cornerback. And I think he was so elite because of his elite ball skills. He checks the size boxes for the position. He brings top-tier natural athleticism. In terms of his natural athleticism, a little fun kind of tidbit about Cooper DeGene. Former four-star prospect out of Iowa, so he stayed in state. Played quarterback, wide receiver, and defensive back in high school. Also lettered in baseball, basketball, and track. He was a long jump and a 100-meter dash state champion as a senior. He averaged 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists per game on his high school basketball team in his senior year. This is not just like he is a freak athlete. And we haven't had the chance to freak out about it because he didn't go to the combine. He didn't have his pro day yet. And I hope that those aren't those numbers. You know, I'm just not as trusting of pro days in general. I think sometimes the numbers are a little inflated, but hopefully either A, those numbers aren't inflated, and B, he's not affected still by that injury, because we've also seen guys like that rush back from their injury to test athletically, and maybe it's not a full snapshot of what those guys actually are athletically if they've rushed back too fast. But I'm really interested to see how Cooper DeJean's pro day goes in terms of that stuff. I'm curious to see how he grades out. He great footwork, very, very, very smooth. Iowa didn't run press a ton. He only had 200 press snaps, so we don't know how good he is at that. But there's plenty of teams that don't run a lot of press anyway. Cough, Eagles, cough. So he's a great tackler, probably the best run defending corner in this class, which I think is part of why a lot of people think he could be a safety. In my opinion, I'm fighting back against that. He was the only corner in the nation last year with an 85 plus grade as a run defender and in coverage via PFF. I'd be drafting him to be an outside corner. I'm pretty passionate about his ability to hang out there. I think he may have the versatility to play slot corner or safety. And I think I look at that as a positive more than a negative in this case, for sure. He's also a great returner. The kick return rules have been changed. We've been seeing some of those, you know, return specialists get signed in free agency. I'm curious to see if, you know, I don't know if a first round corner is too valuable to use in kick returns, or if that kind of philosophy changes at this point with the new rules. It'll be interesting to kind of see. But I think this is a guy who. I don't see why the Eagles wouldn't take him if he's on the board. And apparently they met with him. Supposedly they like him. I'm really, really hoping that this guy's wearing midnight green.
Yeah, he was PFF's seventh highest graded return man in 2023 with 11.5 yards per return and one touchdown. He was a gunner on punt coverage.
And he had a touchdown that should have been a touchdown. They said he stepped out. He didn't step out. It would have won them the game against Minnesota. So he actually had a second punt return touchdown that those rascal Big Ten refs took away from him.
I would imagine with the new kickoff rules, a first round cornerback could also be a return man, because you're no longer like, it's no longer you're probably going to get to the 25 and get blown up by a guy with a full head of steam anyways. Like, mm-hmm. It really is just like a running play now.
Yeah,
with wide open space. And so I think you could see, of course, obviously you're not drafting a guy for his special teams ability in the first round, but it's a plus. And I also view him as a cornerback. I think he could play safety, but I would be drafting him as a cornerback and viewing safety as a fallback. And I just think it would be really interesting, intriguing from an Eagles standpoint. And I've been on this for a while, to take a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who was a slot defender, who is now a safety but still plays the slot a lot, and pair him with a Cooper DeJean, who is a cornerback that could also maybe be a safety. And now you've kind of got two quote-unquote positionless players that do the same thing, and it would give Vic Fangio a lot of creativity in how he could deploy those guys. And so I really like Cooper DeJean. He's number three on my board. I would sprint that pick into the podium at 22.
And something you always say, Shane, when it comes to these positionless players and why sometimes they fall in the draft, is because defensive coordinators are worried about not having a backup. I remember it didn't happen with Isaiah Simmons. He ended up going pretty high in the draft. But there's been plenty of guys who have fell that are maybe a little bit of a tweener. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, who's kind of a guy you can use in a lot of different ways. Even Kyle Hamilton. A guy who you can use a lot of different ways, fell in the draft. And in this case, I love the point you just made, because, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson gets hurt. Cooper DeJean, if they had more corners than safeties at that time, could slide into the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson role. And maybe you slide someone different, like a Ringo or a Ricks, into the DeJean role if he's starting. So it just gives you a lot of options. And D-backs seem to get hurt almost as much as any other position on the field. So I do like the idea of having a guy with versatility.
All right. Well, let's turn the page to our next guy here. He's number four for Dibes and I. He's number three for Mark, but Dibes hasn't got to talk in a while. So Dibes, talk to me about Nate Wiggins, defensive back out of Clemson.
Yeah, this guy has a lot of what you want when it comes to coverage. This guy is a ridiculous cover corner, 6'2", 185 pounds. Although that's, I think that's a little on the heavier side. I think he's a lot lighter than that. But he allowed 18 receptions on 41 targets for 176 yards last year, just 38 yards after the catch. He allowed just one touchdown. He had two interceptions, four pass breakups, an opponent passer rating allowed of 44.4. You know, this guy's best traits is his coverage ability and his ball skills. When the ball is in the air, he just does a terrific job of making the play. He's got exceptional instincts. He can recognize the route break. He's got elite closing speed, and he can go from 0 to 60 in the blink of an eye. That's the positives. There are some negatives when it comes to Nate Wiggins, and it's the other side. It's the tape, and you can't deny it. It's that he's somewhat allergic to physical contact. I don't know if it's a thing. I don't know if he's just a bad tackler or if it's a lack of effort thing. But he definitely gets pushed around a little bit when it comes to the run game. You know, we've seen stronger wide receivers give him problems, especially in close quarters, especially on contested catches. You look at the size, and there are some concerns. Yeah, he's 6'2", but I believe he weighed in 173 pounds. And he's got
second percentile.
He's got shortish arms as well.
18th percentile arms.
Yeah, so when you look at the lack of mass, when you look at the short arms, when you look at the lack of frame, you know, it's going to be up to NFL teams to decide if those are like yellow flags or red flags. And I'll be honest, they're yellow if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles. And if he's sitting there at number 22, I probably, without hesitation, would select him because this is the type of cornerback that you can put on the boundary and say, shut that guy down, and you're good. You can just set it and forget it. And it's that's the level of coverage skills you're dealing here with Nate Wiggins. And luckily for him, man, I think his elite ability and coverage outweighs any struggles he has as a run defender. So that's a little bit on Nate Wiggins.
Yeah, I feel like he's all about he's all about speed and fluidity. Like if you were going to describe him, it's speed and fluidity. And yeah, he's underweight. He's 88th percentile height, but only second percentile weight. And so like that would tell you his frame should be able to gain mass, right? But the question is like, is he the same elite athlete if he adds another 15 pounds? And I don't know the answer to that now. And you can find a balance there. Like, he could stand to be less athletic and have more mass and still be pretty much functionally the same player. You get that law of diminishing returns at a point. Like, is a 4.28 corner really that much different than a 4.35 corner? Probably not. But the difference 10 or 15 more pounds can make in his ability to play the run as a tackler, maybe that's worth it. That's the projection part that comes in. But he struggles in run support and as a tackler. Had a 13.3% missed tackle rate in 2023. That's my concern with Wiggins. His coverage looks great. I, with no hesitation, give him a first round grade. It's just why I have him number four instead of number one or two.
Yeah, the Wiggins, I mean, he's basically Emmanuel Forbes from last year. And Emmanuel Forbes didn't fare very well in his rookie year. I was higher on Forbes than you guys. We've definitely seen plenty of corners struggle early on and then turn it around. So I don't want to necessarily say Nate Wiggins can't, be that guy if Emmanuel Forbes was bad in just his rookie year. There's also a lot of AJ Terrell comps that you could make with Nate Wiggins as well. So I do like Nate Wiggins. He's definitely another guy I'd be really interested in with the Eagles. But watching some more tape the last couple of days, he's definitely a little grabbier than I remember watching throughout the season. And I think some of that in general, we talk about that a lot when we talk about D-backs, but some of that is the fact that it's just a 15-yard penalty in college. So they almost teach you to a little bit if you're going to get beat deep that you should go and do that. So I do like Wiggins. I think the frame I could support more weight. I think the arms, the length, it's going to help him at the next level. I think he's going to be better than Forbes was even early on. So I'm still pretty high on Wiggins.
All right. Well, that's, I don't know if you want to talk in terms of tiers, but that's kind of our first tier. And then there's like a one guy second tier that we're all the same on. And that is Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. He is CB5 for all of us. So Kool-Aid McKinstry, besides having an awesome nickname, he's a five-star recruit. He is 5'11 and a half inches, 199 pounds. He's got long arms, small hands. It's like the inverse of Quinyon Mitchell. 70th percentile arm length, 8th percentile hand size. He only gave up one touchdown in 2023. He's just versatile, right? He can play man. He can play zone. He had the number 8 zone coverage grade this year on 265 zone coverage snaps. He had the number 49 man coverage grade on 117 coverage snaps. He had the number 13 overall coverage grade, number 7 overall CB grade from PFF. If you want to get away from PFF charting, you can just watch him and say he's got good lateral agility. I think he's got quick transitions in and out of his breaks. And he can attach to a receiver and press coverage and stay locked up with them. He can play from off coverage. He's a quick accelerator. He's good in run support. He keeps the edge. He's got great length that should allow him to be impactful at the catch point. Now, that hasn't always necessarily been the case, but he's got that length that you can work with. He also returned punts in 2022 and 2023. This is weird, and I can't tell you why, but he was great at it in 2022. He had almost 16 yards per return. It dropped to under 7 yards per return in 2023. He went from the 7th highest graded returner to the lowest, and I could not tell you why. But in 2022, he was a great punt returner. And so maybe that's something that you key in and you could work with as well. As for his weaknesses, he doesn't get his head around downfield at times. And I feel like he struggles to locate the ball when he does. I talked about him pressing, but sometimes he's not the most consistent landing that press before he opens up to run. Sometimes it feels like he just doesn't really want to press. He wants to just bail and run. And I think that could be because he's just got average makeup speed. He doesn't have the best long speed. He gets a little handsy at the top of his routes. And I really tried not to write that in every report this year, but I did put it in his. So I've got a first round grade on him as well. I think he's a scheme diverse boundary corner, but he's sort of a tier below those top four for me. Mark, any thoughts on Kool-Aid? I know he was your guy early in the year, and I think you faded off of him just a little bit.
Yeah, it was just there was some kind of spotty things that you mentioned there in some of the bigger games, and yeah, you kind of hit most of the spots there. He's I think he's part of the first tier, to be honest. I don't even know if he's too much of a tier behind for me. I don't think there's that much that separates for me. Wiggins, Mitchell, and McKinstry. I have Arnold kind of in his own tier. DeJean a little bit ahead of those guys, but probably in the same tier. And then those three guys kind of similar. And McKinstry, I always kind of with the Alabama defensive backs, I do kind of tend to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt because of the success that they've had in the NFL, and also because of the fact that he's played, like I said, with Arnold against the top talent, but there's a little bit more concerns with him against the top talent than there was with Arnold.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dibs, anything you want to add?
I'm just curious if we're nitpicking when it comes to Kool-Aid McKinstry, like the amount of targets he faced between 23 and 2022 is just night and day. Like he barely saw, there were games when he saw one target a week, and next week, one target. And next week, two targets. Like the previous season, he was seeing 5 to 10 targets a game. And pretty much everything, all the attention went towards Terry and Arnold. Now, Arnold won those matchups 9.9 times out of 10. And kudos to him. But I'm just curious if we're, it's one of those situations like Caleb Williams where there's too much tape.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit too much of like he got some flags, and that's what people remember in big games. That's probably unfair.
If the draft was in March, we wouldn't nitpick as much, but we've got the time. So this is where we find ourselves.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep rolling here. Let's go to our next guy, our first safety of the bunch. He's number 6 for both Mark and Dibes. He's number 7 for me. It is Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. Mark, talk to me about Tyler Newbin.
Tyler Newbin's a guy that I've liked all, you know, all season long last year and all off season. And I'm not letting the poor relative athletic score cloud me. I didn't move him down my board. I'm bullish on his athleticism on field. And you can see that when you look through his full 3 seasons of starting at Minnesota. He had an 89.2 PFF grade with 5 interceptions this year. 2 previous seasons, 76.4 and 72.6 PFF grades. But 2023 was a true breakout season. He was the best safety in the country. He waited his turn behind and learned behind Antoine Winfield Jr., who has turned into one of the better safeties in the NFL. Since then, he's only went and become Minnesota's all-time leader in interceptions at 13 in those 3 seasons. He's got great eyes, great anticipation for where the passes and ball carriers are going. I think he's really versatile, but I think he can play in any scheme, but he excels in a 2-deep role to use his ball skills as much as possible. And he has a 90.1 coverage grade, which is the best among these safeties. So Newbin's a guy who I really, really like, and I have him ranked right around that range where the Eagles pick, but based on the consensus ranking, he's a guy who probably goes towards the top to middle of the second round. And if the Eagles could figure out a way to get him in the second round, I'd be jumping for joy.
Yeah, he had a passer rating allowed of 36.9 last season, the number 1 overall coverage grade from safeties, number 2 overall safety grade. He also has 681 career special team snaps. So again, I mean, I'm talking about special teams a lot, but when you're drafting defensive backs, you're thinking about that as well. So I have a second round grade on him as well. There's some, you know, he doesn't have the top end speed or range. I definitely agree. Split field safety scheme is kind of where you want him. His change of direction, I think, is a little below average, a little bit limited range. But again, he's got 13 interceptions in his career. He's highly intelligent guy. He was a 4-time academic All-American. This guy I'd love to have on the Eagles next season. So I'd take him. I've got a second round grade on him as well.
Yeah, he's in one of my favorite scenarios for the Philadelphia Eagles when they, like, you know, trade back into the mid-teens, maybe late or mid to late 20s, and they draft Tyler Newbin. I think there's like some Brian Branch in this guy to be able to like thrive in the slot and do a lot of different things. I love him.
All right. Well, let's keep the ball rolling here, and let's go to a guy that's number 6 for me. He's number 7 for Mark and Dibes. It is Kamari Lassiter, cornerback out of Georgia, a place the Eagles never select prospects, but maybe this is the year. Dibes, talk to me about Kamari Lassiter.
I think this guy's an elite Eagles target, especially if they do trade back, which would be smart in some, you know, some scenarios. But you know, you mentioned it, Shane. Like Georgia has a long history of producing top notch cornerback talent, and they've got another nickel defender here that I think should really interest Eagles fans in Kamari Lassiter. He had 3.5 tackles for loss, half a sack, and 8 deflections in 2023. But when you watch the tape, man, like his impact far goes beyond everything you saw from the surface stats, man. He's 6 foot, about 186 pounds. He's lean, but he's got really good length. And he plays so much bigger than his listed size and weight, man. This guy really packs a punch. He's a very smooth athlete. He's, I think, a great playmaker despite the lack of numbers there. And then when you get to run support, this guy is just an absolute one-man wrecking crew, man. He's an excellent tackler. He ranked in the top 12 among FBS cornerbacks in both burns per target and burns per coverage snap allowed last year. And, you know, I think his versatility, his ability to dominate in the slot, his ability to play all over the place has to make him a top-notch target for Howie Roseman. And if you think he can't play. I mean, just to go back on the slot, like when they matched up against Missouri, it was Kamari Lassiter who was assigned to take out Luther Burden. And if you don't know who that is, you will in literally less than 12 months from now, because he's a top five draft pick. He's a wide receiver and just a flat out stud. Luther Burden is going to be a big name in the draft circles this time next year. And he only held him to one reception. He moved into the slot and took him out. And that just speaks volumes on how dominant this guy can be. I thought he's been excellent throughout the draft circle or draft cycle these last couple of months. So Kamari Lassiter is a guy kind of like Cooper DeJean in some respects that I think can give you just a lot of everything at a really high level.
Yeah, he did not play in the slot very much. I think he could be a slot candidate in the NFL with his ability to play the run and with his agility. I mean, he's 93rd percentile on the three cone. He's a little undersized, underweight. I'm not saying he has to play inside, but I could see him sliding inside really easily with his run defending prowess at the next level too.
Yeah, it's the weird thing about him is that just that 40 time is concerning a little bit there with Kamari Lassiter. It's not as concerning when I don't think he's going to be an outside corner, but the 4.64 with him being kind of a late riser and a late bloomer. I think that he's a dog though. I think he's an absolute dog. So definitely a guy I'd be interested in for the Eagles. My comp for him was Byron Murphy, who plays on Minnesota. He makes about like $10 million a year.
All right. Well, let's go to the next guy. We're going to go to the Big 12, my home conference. Let's talk about TJ Tampa, the cornerback out of Iowa State. He's number 8 for me. He's number 9 for both of you guys. He was a 3-star recruit coming out. 6'1", 189 pounds, 75th percentile arm length. So he's got height. He's got length. Obviously, that's a good starting spot with the cornerback. He allowed one touchdown in 2023. I think he's got good burst. He's got fluid hips. He's in his best when he is pressing and then flipping his hips to run downfield in like a trail technique where he's got that safety help over the top. I think he's got really good ball skills. He plays the ball in the air with good tracking and timing. He is 98th percentile for forced incompletion rate in college. And so he does a really good job. Doesn't get a lot of interceptions, only 3, but he does a lot to break up passes and force incompletions. He can also deal with blocks in the open field in run defense. He's got the length for that. Now, he is a little inconsistent as a tackler. He's not always technically sound. Sometimes he drops that head or he dives for the legs. And so that's something that you want to clean up. He also takes unnecessary risks, both by going for big hits in the open field or by trying to make balls on play or make plays on balls where it's just not there instead of just tackling. I mean, he's the guy that on 3rd and 12 will try to knock down a slant route instead of just letting the guy catch it and tackle him 6 yards short of the sticks. And so there's some of that on film you would like to see cleaned up as well. He's too upright in his back pedal at times, so it can cause some issues in off-man coverage. But again, he really likes to press. So I've got a second round grade on Tampa. I think he is a great fit for a team that likes to run a lot of zone coverage and or likes to let their cornerbacks get up on the line and press. I think that would be a perfect fit. For Tampa, maybe we get TJ Tampa in a Tampa 2 scheme and the memes can abound. So that's my thoughts on TJ Tampa. Dives, anything that you want to add in there?
No, you nailed it. That was exactly what I was going to say about the whole preps thing. I think you nailed it.
All right.
Yeah, TJ Tampa, I'll just throw my comp out there and it's from Lance Zierlein and it's like exact if you look at the RAS stuff. Rasul Douglas, very, very, very similar to Rasul Douglas.
I loved Rasul Douglas. That makes sense. I can see a lot of that now. So, okay, let's keep it rolling here. And next, we're going to go to Kyrie Jackson. He is number 8 on Mark's big board. He is not in the top 10 for either Dibes or I. So, Mark, what are we missing here?
I love Kyrie Jackson, 6'3" and a half, 194. And go through all the names we just mentioned. Did we mention anyone who's bigger than 6'1.5? Because I don't think we have yet. I think everyone else has been below that. He's 2 inches taller than anyone I think we've discussed. He's a different type of corner in this year's class. And I'm actually surprised that his RAS wasn't higher. I went and looked. He's 7.98 now. When he first tested at the combine, it was 8.48. So it moved down that much just from the other corners testing this year, which shows how athletic this year is at the cornerback position. And we've talked about that, I feel like, at every position. But I get that a 4.5 is not on the faster end. His vertical didn't blow people away. But he's 6'3.5 with 32.75 inch arms. I just think that length is incredibly valuable. He's got the perfect frame. He's built to be an NFL outside cornerback. You can put him on an island, put him in press, man, zone. He started his college career at community college before transferring to Alabama. He was suspended after being named a starter for undisclosed reasons. That's a little bit of a weird thing. Nothing ever really came out. I tried to dig to figure out what that was about, but he transferred to Oregon after 3 years at Alabama, and he had a fantastic season and really the only year that he got a legitimate heaping of snaps. And it was a great year, great ball skills, whether it's those three picks that he had or batting balls down. He's great at the catch point, walling his guy off. Definitely a little bit handsy, but he didn't really get dinged for it a lot. He's also a great tackler. Uses his size and arm length, 78-inch wingspan. He uses all of it. He didn't miss a single tackle in 2023. He's a pretty direct size comp with Tariq Woolen. He's just not as fast at all. So my comp for him is a slower Tariq Woolen.
Slower to requel and all right, I like it. Dives, did you have anything you wanted to throw in on Jackson, even though he wasn't in your top 10?
No, like Mark said, great measurables, great in coverage. I have him in that tier right outside of our top 10, with guys like Kamal Haddon and guys that we'll talk about during our honorable mentions, but there's a few guys that I like just a little bit more than him.
All right, well, let's go to your number 8. Who is also not in the top 10 for Mark and I. He's number 11 for me. Let's talk Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. So talk to me about Bullard.
So I have a type, I guess. This guy is awesome. He's been a force to be reckoned with the last 2 years. From that Georgia secondary, he earned defensive MVP in 2022 at the Peach Bowl and the national championship game. He was second team all SEC in 2023. He had 56 tackles, the third most on the team, with 2 picks and 5 pass breakups in 12 games last year. Last year was Javon Bullard's first year at safety after starting at the nickelback, in the nickel or that star position for Georgia. He went from nickel to safety last year, and the fact that he showed that seamless transition, the fact that he can be efficient in both nickel and free safety at the highest level of college football just speaks volumes of what kind of prospect this is. He is instinctive with high, high football IQ. He has great ranging coverage. He's a great processor, very quick feet. He has excellent closing burst. He's a reliable tackler in space. This guy loves to fly downhill. He's not afraid of contact. And when you get to negatives about this guy, it's his size. His weakness is his size. You look at the NFL when it comes to the safety position, who are, I think, probably more so trending towards bigger safeties, guys that kind of blur the lines of a safety and an off-ball linebacker. Guys that can play a little bit closer to the line, help disguise different coverages. Javon Bullard certainly doesn't really fit the mold of that. He's definitely on the smallish side. He's 198 pounds, but he's got a dense build. Like, he's way bigger than that 180 it says. And he's probably maxed out in that area. But I think overall Bullard probably fits best as a free safety, nickel hybrid defender. that I think, and big time leader on and off the field, that a lot of, you know, defensive coordinators will love. So love Javon Bullard, especially in that day two range for the Eagles.
Yeah, I've got a third round grade on Bullard, and I wrote down big nickel. I mean, he played the slot in 2022. He played safety in 2023. Overall in college, he's got 555 snaps in the slot, 362 at safety, and 132 in the box. So I think, I mean, he's a guy I would love to be my big nickel, third safety, put him in the slot, that sort of guy. I think he'd be a great pickup on mid to late day two. Okay.
You guys covered it. You guys nailed it.
All right. We nailed it. So let's keep the show rolling here, and we're going to go to my number nine. And it's my turn to have a guy that nobody else has on their list. And it is Ennis Rickstraw Jr. So he's from Missouri, three-star recruit. Well, he went to college at Missouri. I don't actually know where he's from. I phrased that weirdly, but he was a three-star recruit. He's 5'11 and a half inches, 183 pounds, ran a 4.51 40-yard dash, 70th percentile arm length, 7.2 relative athletic score. So he's average size or average height, underweight, long arms, kind of average to slightly below average speed. But I do think he is a fluid mover. Like, he's got quick feet. I think he goes through his transitions quickly. He's really strong in zone coverage, where he does a good job of maintaining spacing. But I think he's comfortable in press man coverage, where he can use those long arms to get hands on receivers, and he can control reps early once he gets hands on those receivers. He's good in run support. He had the eighth highest PFF run defense grade among corner or among defensive backs. When the ball's in the air, I think he does a good job of locating it and knocking it away. And I think he brings a lot of scheme diversity and versatility. He can play in both man or zone. He's got just shy of 1,400 snaps at the boundary. He's got 367 snaps in the slot. So I think you could play him a little bit of anywhere. Now, he does have a thin frame. He lacks some strength, and he can have difficulty with bigger receivers at the catch point. I think he also only has one interception in his college career. And so, you know, you look at that and say, maybe not the best ball skills, right? He's got below average recovery speed. There's some injury concerns. He tore his ACL in 2021. He had a groin injury in 2023. And then he had surgery to repair a core muscle injury that caused him to miss the Senior Bowl. And so I have a medical red flag on him. Overall, I have a second round grade on him, but I do have that medical red flag that obviously I can't know how teams are going to view that, what information they're going to have. But I think he's a diverse guy that could potentially move into the slot at the next level. So, you know, maybe he goes near the end of that second round if all the medicals check out.
Yeah, he's a guy that I'm not quite that high on. He definitely some injury red flags. I wasn't all that impressed with the ball skills. So he's probably 13 or 14 for me, all my DB ranks.
All right. Oh, I lied. I said he wasn't on anybody else's list. He is Dibes number 10. So I just missed that there when I was looking. But Dibes, anything you want to add on Rickstraw?
No, just excellent cover corner. Sorry, a lot going on, but go ahead.
Okay, you're good. So let's go on to, this is mine and Mark's number 10. It is Dibes number 11. It is Mike Sanrastil out of Michigan. Mark, talk to me about Sanrastil.
He's not the type of guy that I would usually have on this list, but he's just so impressive despite the size. 5'9 and a half, 182. Really, really small, obviously, but still, even with that size, an 8.48 relative athletic score, ran a 4.47, 40-inch vertical, and we'll get back to that in a second, 30.875-inch arms, had over an 80 PFF grade in both years. He had six picks in 2023. He played receiver in his first 3 years at Michigan before moving to defensive back full-time in 2022. He caught 37 passes for 539 yards and five touchdowns before moving to DB. And that wide receiver skill set translated to corner in the form of top tier ball skills. And it's helped by an insane vertical. Like I just mentioned, that 40-inch vertical is just crazy for a guy who's 5'9 and a half. He's a physical tackler, really plays with a dog mentality, Some people think he could be a safety. I think he's a little undersized to move him to that position. I would draft him to be a slot cornerback. And my comp would be Kenny Moore from the Colts, who just got 3 years, $30 million in free agency.
Yeah, he's a slot only guy for me. He's also a plus special teamer, almost 300 career snaps on special teams. The wide receiver skills you mentioned, two of those six interceptions he returned for touchdowns this year as well. I will say, I think he's got really good vision and instincts in the passing game, and that comes from his wide receiver background. Like, he just understands what the opposing wide receivers are trying to do. But I feel like he's slow out of his breaks sometimes, like he doesn't trust his eyes fully, which he's only 2 years into being a corner, so there's a lot of rawness there, but I really like him as a slot-only guy. Dibes, he was just outside of your top 10. Sort of the same thing there for you.
All right, so if anybody knows me or has been following along, I've been one of the biggest Mike Sammerstill fans over the last several months. You know, the Michigan is just loaded with draft prospects this year, and the guy that I was pounding the table about was Mike Sammerstill, just making play week after week after week, just a straight-up ball hawk. He's always around the football. Like you said, he's going to be an elite slot cornerback. And his rise has been like kind of bittersweet. You know, every year you fall in love with a guy. And, you know, he went, I think at the start of this season, he was kind of a day three guy that I don't think a lot of people know about. So it's been kind of cool to see him now. Like, he's probably like somewhere in the top of round two, mid round two area. So shout out to Mike Sammerstill. He's been awesome. He's an awesome prospect.
All right. So that is our top 10. Now, obviously, there's a lot of defensive backs. There's always guys that just miss the cut for us, guys that are maybe honorable mentions, whether it's a guy that just barely missed a day three prospect that you really like. Dibes, do you have anybody that you want to give a shout out to before we get out of here?
Did you want Max Melton? I wasn't sure.
I will definitely talk about Max Melton, but you can talk about him first.
Okay, because I mean, there's some slot corners that I really like, which is a big position of need. Like, for me,
I tried so hard to get Max Melton into my top 10 just so I could talk about him, and I just couldn't put him over Sammerstill to get him in there. But I love Max Melton. But, yeah, go ahead. Talk about him.
He's 11 for me, too, by the way.
Is he really? Yeah. He's definitely a guy that doesn't have enough buzz around his name. 5'11", 187 pounds, 32-inch arms. Just a physical freak, man. Some of the most explosive athleticism in this year's draft. 40.5-inch vert, 4.39 40, 11.4 on the broad jump. And he's just got a lot of versatility. But I think his bread and butter is going to be in that slot area. He's got a lot of length. He looks really fast on tape. I do think he's got some inside-outside upside, but like at least year one, he's going to be in the slot. And he does tend to rely on his physical attributes sometimes, but all those can be coached up. And I think Melton has a ton of upside. And if you're looking for a slot cornerback, I made a video on my favorite slot corners, and this guy was at the top of the list. So Max Melton's a name to know.
Yeah, I love Max Melton. I've been pumping this guy up. At 9.58 relative athletic score, he was a sub 4.440. His brother, Bo Melton, if that sounds familiar, is a wide receiver for the Packers. Both of his parents played sports at Rutgers. His dad played football. His mom played basketball. He's got a lot of versatility, I think. He's got average size, but great length and athleticism. He's got good ball production, 3 2-3 interceptions in the last 3 years. He fits the run aggressively. I think the reason I couldn't put him over a guy like Sammerstill is because I think he's a slot, but he hasn't played the slot much, only 108 snaps in the slot. And so there's a bit of projection in moving a guy that's mostly played outside corner into the slot. And he did good at the Senior Bowl in it. He had some really good reps we showed on this feed. I just couldn't put him over a guy like Sammerstill. It's more proven in the slot, but I love Max Melton, and he's an easy day two target for me.
Yeah, Max Melton's my number 11 corner. My number 12 corner, my honorable mention would be Cam Hart. Cam Hart is a guy who I've been obsessed with, and he made me look smart at the combine. 9.82 relative athletic score. He's 6'3", 202. So like Kyrie Jackson, just a rare size guy for this draft, a 39.5-inch vertical. Ran a 4.5, which again, at that size is a little bit different than these guys at 6'1 running a 4.5. He also has 33-inch arms. So just incredibly long. Maybe not the best of ball skills. I feel like he flashed ball skills early on in his Notre Dame career. Maybe not necessarily later on in the career. So, but Cam Hart, a guy who graded out incredibly well athletically, and a guy who just has the frame to translate to the next level.
You could say that Cam Hart stole Mark's heart.
There you go. I feel like I'm not high enough on the other Notre Dame guys in this class. So I feel like I'm throwing all my homerism behind Cam Hart.
You think Marist Leofau is a day two pick?
No, probably maybe fringe. Like I'll have him outside my top 100.
I want to throw out a name also, more Georgia football. Tyke Smith, another slot guy, another guy that undersized, but just a ball hawk. Keep an eye out for Tyke Smith. Isn't that like round three, round four area?
All right. Well, there you have it. Our top 10, again, from 1 to 10. I went Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Kamari Lassiter, Tyler Newbin, TJ Tampa, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., and Mike Sanristil. Mark, from 1 to 10, went Terrion Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, Quinyon Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Tyler Newbin, Kamari Lassiter, Kyrie Jackson, TJ Tampa, and Mike Sanristil. And then Dibes, 1 to 10, went Terrion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Tyler Newbin, Kamari Lassiter, Javon Bullard, TJ Tampa, and Ennis Rakestraw. I realize now that the reason I missed Ennis Rakestraw on your list is because I didn't put the junior after his name. And that's what I was looking for when I was skimming through. But there you have it, our top 10. I'm also realizing as I read those off that last year when we did these podcasts, we went from like 10 to 1 to keep that suspense about who was number one. And I'm realizing now that we have one episode left ranking position groups that I didn't do that this year. So maybe next year we'll bring the suspense back. We'll make BGN Draft Show suspenseful again. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys for joining us for this episode of the BGN Draft Show. If you enjoyed the show, if you've been tracking along with us throughout all of our position rankings, or even all the way back to week zero of the college football season this year, we really appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. Click that subscribe button so you get all the other shows on the BGN feed and so you never miss one of our draft shows. You can check us all out on Twitter. I'm at Shane Half NFL. Dibes is at Mr. Crockpot, and Mark is at Mark Henry Jr. We will catch you guys next week for the final position ranking episode of this year of the BGN Draft Show when we rank tight end prospects. We'll catch you guys then.